Today on Real Radio.
You see the false doctrine floating around Christianity today coming out of pulpits that we just need to unite. Let's lay down our differences. Doesn't that sound sweet? Hey, look, that sounds fantastic if you're at war with some country. But you never put truth on the altar and sacrifice it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series that looks at chapter 12, where Paul lists and deals with spiritual gifts. When we think of spiritual gifts, we often have a tendency to think of tongues or prophecy or what have you, but it goes far beyond that, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant?
The evidence of God's stamp upon a church will be, mark it down if you care, love, truth, unity, power, and the presence of those things will result in lives being transformed. People being changed. Listen, don't raise your hand. But has your life changed as you studied the Word of God? I pray, it is my prayer, that if you've made this your church in recent months or years, that your life has been changed and you've grown because of the time we spend in the Word of God, in the Bible together, the power of God's Word. Lives will be transformed. This is all critical. And this is all introduction, so don't worry, I know what time it is. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, are the sons of God. What a great verse that is. So listen, has God given us all that we need to be involved in a church in these last days? And I asked you that last time together, and the answer is an overwhelming yes. God has given us everything we need to have a healthy, vibrant, strong, influential, I mean that in a godly way, culture-shaping church, a church that raises up disciples. Yes, He has provided all those things. So the natural question would be, well, then why are so many churches, or why am I so weak? It's not God's fault. It's not God's lack, it is us. And we need to dive in word by word into these chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14. One more verse to write down before we get into this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, that as the disciples were gathered together, as Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. I love verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of God's Word and Spirit at work in our lives. You say, well, Pastor, I want this to happen in my life. Okay, in verses 1 to 2, we looked at this last time and we asked this question, what makes the church relevant? In verses 1 to 2, we learned this, that as Christians, we understand there's a new life. We've been changed. We're not just doing church. We have become the church. God the Holy Spirit, the moment you accepted Christ, God the Holy Spirit moved inside of your life. Listen, this is critical today. If you are here today and you are thinking that you're a believer, you're assuming you're a believer, ask yourself why. So, well, because my mom and dad were believers. That doesn't make you a believer. We have an understanding that there's a new life. Do you have a new life? Well, I've just kind of always been a Christian. Now, I have to tell you something right now, and I can say this because she's not here. That's my wife. She'll be here next service. My conversion to Jesus was radical. I didn't have a Christian upbringing. When I met Jesus Christ, my life changed that night. Like that. My wife, Lisa, grew up in a Christian home. I can tell you the day, I can tell you within a half an hour of that day when I got saved. She cannot. She grew up in a Christian home. She always knew about Jesus. And I remember years ago her saying to me, I wish I had a testimony like you do. And I said, really? I wish I had one like you do. Your life displays the constant protection and constant oversight of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has raised you up all along the way and kept you from disaster. I didn't have that. Maybe you're here today and you didn't have that protection. But you grew up in a Christian home and you know that you have a new life in Christ. You know today that you could not walk away from Jesus. Why is that true? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. But someone might be here today and they might say, well, I grew up in a very religious home and I'm a very moral person. By the way, this is how it manifests itself when you are a religious person without God. You are very moral. You are very comfortable in church. You enjoy being around Christians. But you do not see the great, great necessity of your own saving. You're pretty doggone good is how you would put it. You look at other people and you might say, well, boy, they need Jesus, don't they? And there's something missing in your life. Number one thing that you need to do, and by the end of this message today, I want to have a time of the true believer settling this in their heart and the religious believer making that decision once and for all. It's critical. It is more important for me over the course of these next several weeks or this month to make sure that we lay the right foundations for you to be a dynamic believer than for us to just rush over this and this church suffers at large. We need you. Did you know that? You need us. We're the body of Christ together. And this is very, very important. We saw this about this new life that we understand. Two important things. Number one, it's a new life that's come from heaven. It's come from heaven. Number two, we learned this, that it's a new life of knowing the truth. You know that your destination's in heaven and that your citizenship is in heaven, and you also know the truth. The truth has set you free. And that's vitally important. Point number two, last time, what makes a church relevant was found in verse 3. As Christians, we recognize there's a new cause. You and I have a new cause. We have a new reason for living. And we saw this in verse 3, that our new cause is to reject the false. In verse 3, when he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. You guys remember what that meant? It meant this, that nobody could say that Jesus is accursed, meaning that no one by the Spirit of God who dwells in them can devalue the lordship of Jesus Christ. If today you are one who says Jesus is great, Jesus is fantastic, Jesus is spectacular, Jesus is one of the enlightened ones, he's the greatest or one of the greatest prophets that's ever lived, you are cursing Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is the Lord God. He's the Savior of the world. The Bible tells us that he's not like someone. The Bible tells us he's it. Amen. He's the one and only. And we mentioned last time together, you can click online if you want to find out more about it, how Jesus of Christianity is not the Jesus of Islam or the Jesus of Mormonism or the Jesus of the Watchtower or the Jesuses of Buddhism or anything else. He's not devalued. He's not one among many. The truth is also this, that he is Lord. We not only reject the false, but we exalt the truth. We saw that in verse 3. That's our new cause for living. And so now, church, here we go. We pick it up where we left off last time. It's our third point. It's in verses 4-6. And here it is. Verses 4-6, look at verse 4. It says there that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What do we mean? As Christians, we know there's a new direction that we're all taking. We are like a ship on the open sea as a church. And we're going, all of us, we should be anyway, in the same direction. Can I be blunt? If you're church shopping and you're visiting today, whatever church you visit, even if today's your first visit to this church on your first journey of looking for a new home church, go to that church 4 times in a row and then leave it, unless God tells you otherwise, leave it. Go to the next place. And how long should you stay when you visit the next church, anybody? 4 times, faithfully. That means 4 times in a row, once every week. Not once a month. Go, pray, ask God to speak to you. Lord, what church do you want me to be at? Why? Because the church that you go to is a church that you are to grow in, you are to develop in. Why? Because the gift or gifts of the Spirit of God are to come up and out of your life. And if you've been in a church and that's not happening, then you've been some dead skin in that church. And look, you're welcome here, but we don't want dead skins. Pastor, I just thought I'd find a church where I could just catch up on my sleep. Please don't do that here. I mean, you have some luxuries. There's some open seats here at first service. But you can't sleep at second and third. We need all the room we can get. But do you realize that if you show up to a service where the Bible is going out and you're not growing, something is very, very wrong? This is very critical. As Christians, we have a new direction, and that direction, you guys, is based upon unity. The ministry life of a church in the post-resurrection world that God has brought us into is a church of unity. We're on an open sea in this world. As a church, we're going in the same direction. It'd be kind of silly if somebody's trying to go in an opposite direction. Every time the church is launched out on something, come together to worship, maybe we come together to evangelize or do something, that there's somebody back there trying to turn their rudder around and change them. We're to be going in the same direction. As you find a church that ministers to you so that you can minister to the body of believers, hang on with all might. Get involved in that church. Why? Because the Bible tells us here in verse 4 regarding our unity. It says, look, that there are diversities. The word diversities mean, mark it down, write it down. It's a great word. Diversities of gifts. The word means a unified distinction. An assembled variety. Isn't that beautiful? A difference of diversities. But we're unified as believers. There is this amazing unified distinction. And if you think about anything that works in this world, you came here in a car today or something with 4 wheels. You say, no, I didn't. I rode my bike, rode my motorcycle. Doesn't matter. It had multiple parts, did it not? Those parts served one purpose, and that was to propel you along to your destination, right? When you got in your car, you had all of these working parts. All of them different, but unified by their assembled distinction to bring about a cause, to bring about a purpose, to bring about a function. As a church, we are to be that type of body of believers, and that will come by understanding what gift of the Holy Spirit you have in the church and how it's to be exercised. And we're going to go through all of them someday before the Lord comes back, I trust. You need to know. This word also circles the word gifts right here. There are diversities of gifts. This word means an endowment by God, an appointment of qualifications. By the way, it demands that it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives each of us in this church different gifts for the common movement of this church. So watch now. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if it applies to you. Are you, and keep them up, by the way, are you a Christian and you know it? Clap your hands. No, I'm kidding. If you're a Christian, and you know, that's from camp. Anyway, raise your hand if you're a Christian. Raise your hand, keep it up, okay? Oh, my goodness. Okay, keep your hand up. Will you people look around? Just look around. Look to the left, look to the right. Look at the hands that are up. Put them down. Why am I a little frustrated over this? Because, listen, if every one of us who raised our hands could say today, I know what my spiritual gift is, this church, this service, this church, First Service Church, would blow the doors off this world.
Amen.
You say, oh, come on, man. It's just for service. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers when they're unified, setting sail for the same cause. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing that cannot be done for the glory of God. The moment we go, I don't think so. Whatever, but listen, if you don't know what your gift is, that's what these studies are for. We're going to be finding out. And if you are visiting, then do stick around for 4 weeks and find out what's going on with your life. What is it that God has saved you for in this world? Well, to go to heaven. That's later, man. That's your retirement. What is it now? It's exciting. It's an amazing thing to realize. The Bible tells us, mark it down if you would. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That's Paul quoting Psalm 68:18. Ephesians 4:12 tells us that these are the reasons why the gifts are to be operating. For the equipping of the saints, that's us, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh my goodness, that verse is pregnant with truth. Look at that thing. As a believer, wow, I need to find out what God wants me to do. I need to find out what burden he's put in my heart to fulfill for the body of Christ. And so I'm here in this church, Lord, what is it that you're speaking to me? What gift have you given me? Why? Because it's to edify. The equipping of the saints will be a ministry which results in edifying the body of Christ. Does that excite? I hope that excites you, man. I hope that pumps you up. So, man, you know, I don't know. Let me tell you, one taste of being used by God. Oh, I don't want this to sound wrong. And don't do what I'm about to say. This is a sarcasm, okay? I'm being sarcastic right now. If you don't think that verse is true, then go do all the drugs you can do. Go run around the planet, try everything you can. Sign up for whatever you think you need to sign up for. And when you have destroyed your life and have run yourself empty, then come right on back and find out that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life and says, hey, Bob, this is the gift I've given you. Use it. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. You can try the junk of the world and you'll be destroyed. When God uses you, listen, I can tell you, when God uses you, you might be exhausted, but it's a good exhaustion. It's like, yeah, and there's nothing like it. And I want you to know that. If you don't know that, I'm so excited for you. I really am. It's life-changing. Verse 4 also teaches us this, that where God is at work, there'll be unity around the truth. I want you guys to write this down because it's so important. Today in Christendom, we've got this big push. Listen carefully. We have this big push in Christendom today in what is called Christianity to be unified. We need to be united. We need to be united. And it's unite, unite, unite for the, unite. No. What? Listen, it is a very wrong thing to unite outside of the truth. When people today, this is a big deal. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, then you're at peace. But if you do know what I'm talking about, you see the false doctrine floating around Christianity today, coming out of pulpits, that we just need to unite. Let's unite. Let's lay down our differences. Doesn't that sound sweet? Hey, look, that sounds fantastic if you're at war with some country. But you never put truth on the altar and sacrifice it for unity. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Isn't unity all important? No. Are you kidding me? Do you know what unites us as true believers? the truth. Amen. I got a nasty letter from somebody last week. Actually, I get nasty letters from people every week. And by the way, if you're writing down now a nasty letter right now to send me, I have to let you guys know something. I need to remind you. The mail I get, if it's not signed with an ability for me to return your comment, either by phone or by address, if you don't sign it with your name, I don't read it. As soon as I get it, I look to the back and I see if it's signed and I can reply to whatever's about to be said. If it's not signed, if there's no way for me to dialogue with you, I ball it up and throw it away. You say, doggone it, I can't believe, I wrote you a nasty letter a couple weeks ago and that means you didn't read it. That's right. I haven't read a nasty letter in 20 years. If it's not signed, look, if it's signed, if it's nasty and it's signed, I'll read it. I can see some people go, make a note of that, honey. Doggone, I got to write that note over again. When we sacrifice God's truth, God's doctrine, God's revealed word so that we can have a kumbaya moment and say that we're okay with God, we're false. The truth unites us. And when the truth goes out into this congregation and somebody is diametrically opposed to the truth and then scolds me because I'm not promoting a spirit of unity, what I was really being invited to was, that Bible of yours is 2,000 years old. Don't you know that our modern age has arrived? And you just need to promote unity. Take the Bible and flush parts of it down the toilet. Let's just hug one another. I'll hug anyone who's at the truth. Right? And what is the criteria for the truth? The Word of God. When we operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I have the gift of running around barking like a crazy dog, going crazy. Oh, no. No, you don't. And the truth is going to come get you and say, sit down, calm down, because that's not what the Bible teaches. But listen, I want to say this. I do believe in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as described in the Bible. You say, well, how come we don't see all of them working? That's not God's fault. That's our fault. Well, I saw some lady, she was doing this thing and I won't believe in that gift anymore. Oh, listen, listen. I lament over the abuses of the gifts too. That doesn't make them not true. It means that they've been abused. All of the gifts of God given to the body of Christ are for the edification of the body of the believers, the church. And just because some denomination or some group of people ruins the practice of those gifts doesn't make them not true. It means that we need to stick to the Bible and stick to the truth. But there's the unifying work of the Holy Spirit around the truth. And the proper use of the gifts will strengthen the body of believers.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the title of this study, What Makes a Church Relevant? It's actually a mini-series that takes a look at this section of Paul's letter where he lists and then deals with spiritual gifts. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been telling you a lot about our new television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Monday nights at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. It's a great show. It features Pastor Jack dealing with today's issues from a scriptural worldview and how the believer is to handle and confront them. Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Visit hischannel.com Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Just click on the live TV stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our phone number, if you'd like more info, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.